Inconceivable!
Will you please act like you have more than a two-word vocabulary?
Is there air? You don't know!
Hey, don't touch that dial. You found Secular Yakking.
I'm Robert.
And I'm Amy.
After years...
many years of yakking at each other.
We're here to yak at you.
So sit back and enjoy the yakking.
Hey, welcome back, yakkers. That's a good start to the show.
Right? We're just fooling around.
So I hope everybody had a great weekend. I know I did.
We had a busy weekend. Yeah. I'm exhausted.
Dropped the kids off at camp. That means we have a nice, quiet house.
Yes, but we had to make the trip twice.
Yeah, because, that was just insane.
Yes. But on to better things.
On to more better things.
More better more things. Better. You're killing me.
Okay. So, Mormon Church has released photos of a seer stone used by founder Joseph Smith.
I still think that's funny.
The LDS Church released an image of the seer stone and the handwritten printer's manuscript of the Book of Mormon. Seer stone is an egg-sized polished stone Joseph Smith claims to have used to translate the golden tablets of Moroni.
I thought that said macaroni.
Yeah. So, this is the thing he shoved in his hat.
Right.
So that the guy on the other side of the sheet can write down what he said.
Like Oz.
Yeah. That kind of felt like
for me, that's just hard to swallow that so many people go along with this. I'm still dumbfounded every time I think of it. And the fact, we've lived in Utah. We've seen the Mormon temple in Salt Lake on many, many occasions. And man, the amount of money they have, which, is how many people go with this. It just floors me.
Yeah, I know. It's insane how much money flows through that temple.
Oh, God, yeah. Huh. Exactly. I mean, they've got some serious money tied into that place.
Yeah. But to go on, to put this in context, Joseph Smith also used the seer stone in the 1820s to dupe tourists into his treasure-finding scam. He was found guilty of being a disorderly person and an imposter.
Of course he was.
So what he did, he had a seer stone then in the 1820s.
Right.
And he would tell people that he could use a seer stone to find buried treasure. Like gold and gems and stuff like that.
Like an old-fashioned treasure hunt.
So he was indicted and found guilty of fraud.
Fraud. But, fraud.
Yeah. Disorderly person is the name of it then.
Right.
I think from what I read a couple times he was indicted on this.
Yeah.
He was insane.
It doesn't surprise me whatsoever.
So I guess whenever he found out that the treasure hunting thing wasn't going to work, then make a religion.
What the hell?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, because that's where I would have went with that.
So also released are pictures of the printer's manuscript, because the original written copies were destroyed in water, or most of the originals.
Right.
So all we have is the printer's manuscript.
Of course we do.
So, and given the history of Smith to use stones to trick people into hiring a treasure finder, I find the LDS using stone of any kind of evidence for the truth of their religion to be absurd at the least.
Right. And I guess I don't understand, why are they releasing the photos now? Did I miss that part?
I didn't see that.
Are they low in numbers? They need to spice it up a little bit, some attention.
From what I understand, they want to show the honesty of the church.
Okay.
They want
a new route.
Well, not necessarily the honesty of the church. They want to show that they have all this stuff, and they want people to perceive them as. Actually, I don't know why. It doesn't make any sense to me.
I was going to say, it sounds like you're tripping.
I was trying to make a defense of it, but there's no defense of it.
No, I don't know. I find it kind of convenient, because if you notice, a lot of religions are having a hard time more and more lately, it just seems. They're more on the defense and coming up with new tactics to draw some attention and bring up their numbers.
Yeah, I don't see the producing a seer stone as drawing in numbers. All it's going to do is shore up the already devout Mormons.
Well, that's how I see it.
They are hemorrhaging.
Yes, I have heard that.
So maybe that's part of it. But
well, that's what I'm thinking.
It's certainly not going to bring in more converts.
You wouldn't think so. Maybe it's just to keep what they've got.
I mean, evangelical Christians see a seer stone, and that's like witchcraft.
You're right.
So, but moving on to better news.
Let's go there.
Arian Foster publicly declares himself an atheist.
Football player.
Yeah, football player. Houston NFL player Arian Foster said earlier this week he is an atheist. And I'm going to read some quotes from him. Everybody always says the same thing. You have to have faith. That's my whole thing. Faith isn't enough for me. For people who are struggling with that, they're nervous about telling their families or afraid of the backlash. Man, don't be afraid to be you. I was for years.
I just think it's absolutely fantastic, amazing, whatever, that he is coming out to the public that he is an atheist or even a non-believer.
Yeah.
Because it just seems anyone that's in the public eye, they're usually afraid to come out. And, you know, as far as...
Well, with good reason.
Right. No, I know. I get that. And, you know, like, you know, our episode title says, you know, they've got some stones. It takes stones to do this. I mean, especially when you're in the public eye like this. And yes, it will ride on endorsements. It'll ride on his dollar. I mean, it all, you know, that's all going to play into it. But he seems to, you know, want to get above that, I guess you could say.
Right. But he wants other players and people in general who might feel similar to him to be able to feel safe expressing
right.
themselves.
Yes.
And to promote acceptance of atheism worldwide, he recently joined the group Openly Secular as a spokesperson.
Oh.
So Openly Secular is a group that promotes people coming out and saying, yeah, I'm secular. I would like other people to say they're secular, too.
And
it gives us the what's the word I'm looking for?
I don't know. I'm not on your page right now.
Oh, man.
But right. I do
the visibility.
Know. It's kind of what I was
visibility.
Thinking, actually. Yeah, for more people to be comfortable with being able to, you know, to say things openly and not have such a backlash. I mean, at some point there will come a time when you can have many public figures who aren't going to have to go through this, you know,
right.
They don't have to be afraid or
worry
what backlash they'll get.
It's already getting better. I mean,
there's
a ton of movie stars that already support and are openly secular.
Yes.
There's getting to be a few more politicians.
Yes, I've noticed slowly and surely they're starting to come out of the woodwork.
Right. So it'd be nice to get some of them elected.
Right.
So I think it's great. We're going to put a link to Openly Secular on the show notes in case you want to go check them out. I have checked them out. They are really awesome.
That's cool.
So one day I might make an Openly Secular video. Who knows?
Oh, will you now? Because
yeah.
You have so much free time.
That's not the point.
Living.
But yeah, great job, Arian Foster. Coming
yes.
out, especially in something as religiously entrenched as the NFL.
Right. But I do like he had one thing to say that I really liked. He had said, I'm digging deeper into myself and my truth. Just being me is more important than being sexy to Pepsi or whoever. After a while, what's an extra dollar compared to the freedom of being you? That's the choice I've made. And I think that's huge.
Yeah. I mean, a football player who's more concerned about ethics and morality than about the dollar.
Than the dollar, which is, like, shocking because I have to say, you know, here in Washington, you know, we've got the Seahawks. And as a matter of fact, we just signed on one of our football players for $87.6 million for the next 4 years, which to me is insane. But he's guaranteed $60 million. He gets $31 million up front. It's like, come on. We pay our entertainment way too much.
Yeah, that's.
But to see someone in that position actually, you know, think outside the dollar is kind of nice.
Now, a lot of football players and a lot of football organizations do a lot of charity work.
Right, yes.
So I'm not saying they don't do good things. It's just I think they get paid a lot of money.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I have issues with paying any of our entertainment, whether it's sports or it's movies, so incredibly much when we don't pay teachers or police officers or firemen hardly anything whatsoever. I
right.
mean, it's really sad how much they
yeah.
get paid.
Yeah. And some more fun, not necessarily better news.
I wouldn't go with that, but
yeah. But more fun. A Lincoln County commissioner walks out during Muslim prayer.
Why does that not surprise me?
Yes. You may recall that on May 17th, we awarded the Lincoln County Commissioner with a Potter Award for threatening to walk out in a meeting if anything other than a Christian prayer was given. Well, at least we can say he was...
Followed through.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. On August 3rd, he followed through with his threat. Dustin Bardo, an American Muslim, gave the opening invocation. Prior to his invocation, Councilmember Carol Mitchum walked out and returned after the pledge. Bardo said it was very upsetting.
I would imagine so.
So this guy is the first non-Christian prayer in this council.
Oh, in the whole, in the count, yeah.
Because Carol Mitchum said he will not have anything other than Christian prayers. He will not be forced to pray to anybody else.
Right, which is why he got the Potter Award, because he thinks he's God in his county.
Right. So, but this ends up being a good thing.
Yeah.
In a roundabout sort of way.
I was going to say, yeah.
So by the end of the meeting, all prayer was banned.
Oh, okay.
So no Christian prayers, no Muslim prayers, no secular invocations.
Oh, so we're actually going to have a council meeting that just sticks to business?
A moment of silence.
Oh, see, I like that.
That way anybody can do what they want.
And they could all think in their head what they want to think.
So Commissioner Alex Patton initiated the motion, which was easily voted into effect. And guess who voted against it?
Oh, I could imagine.
Carol Mitchum.
Of course he did. There's a surprise. Big shocker.
So,
twist ending.
Patton told the local TV station, "To me, the final straw was when our chairman got up and walked out."
Yes, that was just...
That's just rude.
That was rude. It was in poor taste. And I'm glad the other chairman also understood that that was completely uncalled for and unprofessional.
Right. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
It was. There's no need for that.
But Mitchum had a few quotes to say on his own. He said, "I said I would not listen to a Muslim pray, and that's not... And that's not what I've... Is that not what I've said?" Sorry, that was a little tongue twister there. Who... he also called Patton a lunatic.
That's sweet. Yeah.
And then he said, "And that's what I've done tonight. I've done exactly what I said I was going to do. I'm not going to listen to them pray. So I've just done all my commitment."
He was very deserving of Potter Award. He really was, because he's a total prick.
He was in tension, and he was in contention this week.
Oh, I don't doubt that.
Yeah, until some other stuff came up.
Yeah. So. He thinks he's in his own little bubble and no one can touch him is how he behaves, which is how our Potter Awards get.
Right.
But they're just such pricks.
Yeah, I know.
I just don't get it.
On that note, I think it's time for a short break.
If you say so.
The Humanists of North Puget Sound is proud to welcome Shelley Siegel to Everett's own Fireville Community Coffee House.
Shelley is a global presence in the atheist movement and a genre-defying singer-songwriter. An atheist album brought her into the spotlight, and now she's coming to Everett, Washington.
Come enjoy her melodic vocals, heartfelt passion, and thought-provoking lyrics on August 17th at the Firewheel Community Coffee House, 2727 Colby Avenue in Everett, Washington at 7 p.m. Go to meetup.com/humanistmps for more info.
What happened to all the background noises that told me I...
That's going to be fun.
Yeah, I'm actually looking really forward to it. And I can't believe it's here already.
And as promised, I have the dates.
It's She's about playing in the Puget time.
Sound. That's all I have is Puget Sound. If you wanted other dates, go to our website.
Oh, it does have them all listed there.
As far as I know.
Yeah.
So, of course, she's coming to Everett, Washington, August 17th, Firewheel Community Coffee House, Colby Avenue.
Right.
Then she's going to be August 18th at the Triple Door in Seattle. At 8 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Then she's going to be in Richland, Washington at the Emerald of Siam Thai Restaurant and Lounge.
On the 20th at 6.
20th at 6, yes.
Yes.
And then Tacoma, August 23rd at 8 p.m. at the Swiss Restaurant and Pub.
Yeah, she's going to be a busy lady.
Yeah, so those will be on the show notes, plus a link to Shelley's website.
Right. Is she also doing like all of America tour right now?
Yeah, she's doing all the big conferences. So you know, all the conferences seem to happen in August for some reason.
Oh, okay.
In July and August. So she's doing a lot of conferences. She's just doing a big, huge tour of America.
So, you know, you don't have to be in Washington in order to check her out. If you happen to have somewhere somewhat closer, you know, that would work way better. But, she's really cool. She's an awesome lady and very talented singer.
Okay. Here's something funny.
Okay, go for it.
Anti-gay Christian lawmaker in Michigan planned male prostitute hoax to cover up his own same-sex or opposite sex affair.
The opposite of sex affair. So he thought going as a gay guy would be better? No, a gay prostitute hoax?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, where's the logic in this one?
So Michigan State Representative Todd Courser planned the distribution of a fictional email alleging he had sex with a male prostitute in a bid to conceal his relationship with Representative Cindy Gamrat.
That's where I would have went, you know? Yeah. Makes Courser, sense?
So there are some audio recordings, so this isn't just hearsay.
Right, right. So, he actually said
Courser said on one recording the email was designed to create a complete smear campaign of exaggerated false claims about him and Gamrat, so public revelation of the legislators' relationships would be mild by comparison.
Okay, that's one way to go.
So here's the idea. You make up a fake story, which is way worse
right.
than the actual story. And then when the actual story comes out, it says, see, I wasn't that bad.
You know, only a dishonest person would come up with this strategy, truly.
Well, it's not just that. Here's something Courser said to the guy he was planning it with. In a controlled burn, you do a little bit of truth mixed with a lot of lies.
Wow.
So this guy, he was willing to lie to everybody in order to get a lesser sentence.
Oh, wow. That's ridiculous. I mean, who thinks of this stuff?
I don't know.
I mean,
that's just insane. It's like if you have a kid who goes and breaks the door, right?
Right,
and,
right.
Right, and then, because they know you're going to get kind of mad about the door.
So they figure out something worse? Is that the plan?
I don't think you can come up with one.
You right? can't.
No.
Because it makes no sense to me, because you think it would be like, to make something worse than what you did would be the opposite of what you would want to do. Or at least that's my thoughts.
I know, but I think they're saying once it comes out that it's a fake email, people are like, oh, okay, yeah, it's a fake
Ignore
email.
Ignore what really happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they'll be like, oh, so this really happened. Well, it's not as bad as what could have
like
happened.
Like sleight of hand. Here, look over here. Don't look over there.
Right. Because, I have a feeling that someone was about to expose them.
Oh, jeez Louise.
But they got exposed anyway.
Obviously.
Which is good because they've both been, what was it? Removed from the House GOP caucus.
Ah. It's just, it's still, the thoughts that come up are just, are you kidding, really?
Interestingly, Courser introduced a bill in June that would have required a marriage license to be signed by a religious leader.
Okay, I think that's actually more of an attention getter for me than the other story.
I think it's the fact that he was willing to deny someone else the right to marriage.
Right.
And then he's doing something like this. I think it's completely dishonest in pretty much his entire life.
I was going to say, how can you believe anything he says?
Right. So the whole reason for the religious leader signing was because he knew Supreme Court was going to come down in favor of gay marriage.
Right,
so he wanted to head it off and say, you have to have a clergy member sign off on this.
Right, which is total crap because it's not just going to close off, you know, the gay community. It also cuts off secular communities.
Right, that was the thing. If you're an atheist, you have to go find a clergy member to sign it for you.
Like, hell we do.
Which, in fact, would just bring in more money for the clergy. Think about it, because they're going to charge people for this service. Oh, you want me to sign your paper? Okay, $10.
Now, that doesn't stick, does it?
No, it didn't.
I was going to say, I don't see how that could even possibly stick.
Yeah, but, you know, it took a lot of stones to do what he did.
Stones are stupidity, your choice.
Sometimes they're linked.
I could see that.
And in some sad news, Bangladesh blogger Niloy Heel hacked to death in Dhaka in Bangladesh.
This took smart stones. And brave stones, actually, is more of what I'm thinking.
Yeah. For him, it's some big old cojones for him for standing up for secular.
In an area that is so threatening, and really, it's hard to stand up in areas like this.
Now, he's the fourth secularist blogger to have been killed this year by suspected Islamist militants in Bangladesh.
That's ridiculous and crazy that there's been four.
Yeah, the head
and all they're doing is saying words.
I know. They're telling people that Islam is not the truth.
Right.
Is basically what they're saying.
Right.
And in some cases, they're just promoting science.
Yeah. Yeah. There was one that was just science.
So specifically in the case of Niloy, he was an extremist voice of reason.
Uh huh.
So he was very much an anti-religious
Right.
Right. So right. he was out there. And Imran Sarkar, head of the Bangladesh Blogger and Activist Network, said he was a voice against fundamentalism and extremism, and even a voice for minority rights, especially women's rights and the rights of indigenous people.
It's really sad that, you know, if anyone, you know, speaks of equality, they're hacked to death with a machete.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, it's really sad that, you know, in this day and age, it's 2015, and there's still things like that going on.
I know. Well, what's sad is he asked for police protection.
And they didn't give it to him.
And they didn't give it to him. He's on the list of the 84 atheist bloggers drawn up by the Islamic group in 2013.
Like a hit list?
It's a hit list. Jeez. He's on that list. He should have... Everybody on that list
should have protection.
Should have some sort of protection.
Yes.
I mean, it's sickening.
It really, truly is. I mean...
Honestly, if I lived there, I don't know if I could do what I do.
Yeah, that's a one to think on.
I mean, it would be difficult. I would want to, but I would certainly have to be anonymous.
Yeah, because that's really frightening. You're not playing like you... I mean, over here, we kind of take for granted that normally, legally, no one can touch you for thinking or believing something different.
Well, they can't do that legally over there either, but they're not really much about it.
Well, I was going to say, they're not doing anything about it, and we also don't have really large organizations that are doing these hits.
Right.
We don't have that kind of, I can't think of the word, but, you know, as far as... We don't have those threats here.
Right.
Not like that. Yes, we have our crazies and our groups and stuff that don't like it, but you don't see them going out hacking people with machete all over the place you don't even see things like that happening on a regular basis.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to just walk around here with a machete, though.
Well, that too, yeah.
I mean, I don't think they have a whole lot of laws over there about that.
Right, and they won't let, here in America, they won't even let you carry the sword that you want to carry.
They won't let me carry anything bigger than a 6-inch knife.
Which is silly, but yeah, that's another story.
No, I want to carry a battle axe.
Oh, no, I thought you wanted a sword.
Well, a sword would be the first step.
Yeah.
Then I can carry a battle axe, and then eventually a halberd.
Yeah,
and I'm carrying around a 12-foot pike with a big axe on the end. That'd be great.
Another story, moving on.
So...
I am an old man, and most people hate me, but I don't like them either, so that makes it all even.
A Texas man who pleaded guilty to a misdemeanor assault charges of punching his girlfriend's ex-boyfriend was given a choice between marrying her or going to jail.
That's such crap. He cannot do that. I'm sorry. I'm so ticked about this.
Yeah, Judge Smith County, Texas Judge Randall Rogers then gave him a choice between 2 years of probation or 15 days in jail.
He can't do that.
Yep. So, what...
No, I mean, he can't force someone to get married.
Right.
He legally cannot do that.
Right. So, what he's guilty of is assault and bodily injury...
To her ex.
To her ex-boyfriend.
Right.
In February. So, he finally got his court date, and he said, well, you can either marry this girl or go to jail. Oh, and you can write Bible verses.
What?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that's what he said. The Bible verse, he was supposed to write out 25 times a day. The Bible verse is, if a man digs a pit, he will fall into it, from Proverbs 26:27.
This is so illegal. I would totally fight this.
Well, they should have fought it.
Yes.
But they didn't.
They actually got married. But
the father of the bride said that they were young. They're 19 and 21.
Yeah.
Yeah, 19 and 21. They're young. They're scared.
Yeah,
I get
that.
He was going to lose his job if he didn't do this, because the judge also did not give him time to call his job.
This guy really takes the Potter Award, because he really think he is king of his country.
Right.
I mean, he thinks the laws of the nation do not apply to him. He can do what he wants, when he wants, like he's sitting up on his throne. That's such BS. There's no way I would put up with that.
Right. So the couple knew there was going to be, you know, probably probation, because that's what the DA told them.
Right. And I'm sure this is a first-time offense
thing.
Yeah,
first-time offense. Right. And then the judge asked if the girlfriend was worth it. And if they were living together.
What?
And they both said yes. When the judge said part of the probation was that they had to get married, they both turned red. So they were embarrassed right then.
Yeah.
You might want to check with her first, said the judge. And they made her stand up and asked her if she was okay with this. When she said yes.
That judge should be punished. Yeah. I'm sorry. Not...
There were people laughing.
Yeah, this is what I'm talking about being punished. Because she's also being persecuted and she did nothing wrong.
She did nothing wrong. And she's being forced into a marriage. Now, not that they don't want to be married, right?
No, I understand that. I get that.
But they didn't want to be married like that.
Right, on so their own terms.
They had to go get the marriage license a couple days later.
Uh-huh.
And they got married in front of the Justice of the Peace.
Just a real quick thing.
Just to get it done, right?
Right.
That's not the wedding she wanted. It's not the wedding he wanted.
Right.
So basically, it's taking away the rights to happiness for these people.
Right.
Because he punched somebody.
Which, who's to say what the ex was doing to provoke that?
Well, it was probably, you know, your typical stuff.
Yeah, you know, you can figure it out.
But what is really bad, not necessarily really bad, but what is wrong with this decision is that he wouldn't let the guy call his job. He would have taken jail time had he been allowed to call his job.
Yeah, I don't understand that. And to humiliate her as well, let alone humiliate both of them, but to make her stand up in the middle of court and make a decision on the spot, hey, you're getting married whether you like it or not, basically.
Yeah.
He cannot do this. And even though they are married now, they should still press charges because this judge needs to be taken care of.
I agree.
He has crossed so many lines on this one.
Right. And interestingly enough, I did a little bit of research and didn't have a whole lot of time to research this guy.
Uh-huh.
But he ran unopposed in both 2010 and 2014. I think someone needs to oppose him next time.
Yeah.
Because this is ridiculous. He should not be allowed to do this.
He has let the power go to his head.
Yeah. And from what I've read, he's always been kind of a jerk.
Sounds like it.
I couldn't find anything that was specifically bad.
Mm-hmm.
But
just arrogant.
Arrogant. I mean, he called the next county over a hotbed of corruption.
Yeah, he's definitely got the power going.
When his own county is just as corrupt.
Well,
at least that's what I've read.
Uh-huh.
I did see that he actually said that, but I don't have the stats on the counties to see who's more corrupt.
Right.
But just the fact that he would say the next county over is just corruption.
He's very Potter worthy because of his behaviors and the arrogantness and, you know, just the prickness.
Yeah,
if
I know.
That's actually a word.
Seriously, it took some stones for this guy to do this.
I mean, he's a jerk, and he's got the power going to his head is what's going on with
right.
him. He thinks he's on his own throne.
Right, and this is the problem when we have judges who run unopposed for years.
Yes, that needs to be fixed.
Right. I mean,
but that's another thing.
That's a whole other political issue.
Yeah, that's
issue.
A big other thing.
And normally we require somebody to extra worthy with multiple violations. But this guy did it in one instance.
Yeah, a couple of things in one lump sum.
Yep, just one big thing.
Yeah.
So that's just very, very interesting. I mean,
I wonder if they'll follow through or just let it go.
Well,
in one sense, yes, they're young, so they'll probably let it go. But in the other sense, you're like, this guy was so wrong in so many levels. Somebody needs to do something about him. But
yeah,
it all just depends.
Probably nothing is going to happen.
Ugh,
that's the sad part.
That frustrates me.
I mean,
the most.
I'll try and keep an eye on this, but this is one of those things that's probably just going to fall through the cracks.
Like everything else that does, and yet the corruption goes on.
So, Judge Randall Rogers from Smith County, you have won yourself the Potter Award.
Most definitely. So that's all the yakking we have for you today. Please join us again next week as we resume the assault on your eardrums. If you can't seem to get enough of us, check us out on Twitter or our Facebook page. You can also leave us a message at 704-802-YAK.
That's 704-802-9255. If you like what you hear, drop by our Patreon page and help support the show. Then head on over to Stitcher or iTunes and leave us that oh-so-coveted 5-star review.
Secular Yakking is sponsored by the Humanists of North Puget Sound.
The views expressed are those of the host and not those of HMPS or its board.
All audio for this episode was used under the Creative Commons license.
And remember, the government of the United States of America is not, in any sense, founded on the Christian religion.